This year marks the 30th anniversary for a San Francisco band called The Residents. If you're asking, so what? Well, they experimented with punk rock before anybody called it that. And they experimented with techno decades before others tried it. The band also foresaw the future of independent labels, music videos, and CD-ROMs. So why haven't you heard of them? NPR's Netta Ulaby wondered that too.
For starters, it's not easy to interview The Residents. They have steadfastly refused to reveal their names, and they perform behind large eyeball masks. And they won't talk to reporters, so they furnished NPR with a spokesman, Homer Flynn.
I generally see myself as a manager, babysitter, enabler for The Residents.
Hell, I never knew what his real name was.
Flynn insists he's not a member of the band.
Tom was quite the ladies' man. He fell in love. And she was something.
Homer Flynn says The Residents started as a group of nerdy outsiders in their Louisiana high school. They moved to San Francisco at the zenith of its hippie heyday. There, the four friends collected thrift shop instruments, and they held jam sessions where musicians were only allowed to play instruments that they couldn't. When they sent a homemade tape to Warner Brothers, a rejection came back addressed to The Residents.
And from their point of view, that sounded great. That sounded like a perfect name.
Having hit on a name, The Residents decided to form their own label, Ralph Records.
Send the dogs at Jesus' feet, send the dogs at Jesus' feet, send the dogs at Jesus' feet. There's no presence in the future.
In the future.
In 1972, The Residents released a record that was both a single and a greeting card. They called it Santa Dog, an anagram of Satan God. They mailed it to Frank Zappa and Richard Nixon, among others. They tried to make a movie, performing in tuxedos and silver masks alongside enormous rubber stalks of broccoli. That project failed, but they did succeed in releasing their first LP, Meet the Residents.
They took the Meet the Beatles cover and, like, totally defaced it. That got a lot of attention.
Spokesman Homer Flynn.
They also had some early costumes, like Ku Klux Klan suits, all made completely out of newspaper, which in a way was a sort of a statement on the media.
The Residents argued that mainstream pop was boring, hegemonic, and brooked no experimentation. But some of their music did wind up on progressive FM radio stations.
Here I come, Constantinople. Here I come, Constantinople. I am coming, Constantinople. Here I come. Here I come, Constantinople. Here I come, Constantinople. I am coming, Constantinople. Here I come.
Although The Residents weren't exactly wildly popular, they developed a cult following. That includes Penn Jillette, who toured with them in the early 1980s. Just as Penn and Teller mixed comedy and magic, The Residents mixed music and performance art, well before Blue Man Group. Following in the tradition of Dada, The Residents gloried in taking the music industry's sacred cows and milking them. Penn Jillette.
The idea of doing a thing called the commercial album, where every song is exactly 1 minute long, and then debuting it by buying minute chunks on commercial radio and playing their song on a top 10 radio station as a 1 minute ad that's actually the 1 minute song, is kind of a wonderful, beautiful idea.
Unlike unsurprisingly, exposure became less frequent as the residents pursued even more idiosyncratic projects. Penn Jillette is fond of an album consisting entirely of pseudo-Eskimo chants.
You hear on about the 20th listen that some of what the Eskimos are chanting is Coca-Cola adds life.
Coca-Cola adds life.
It was on the Eskimo album, against a bleak polar landscape, that the residents first posed with huge eyeballs for heads. The look became their signature, but the residents want to retire the eyeballs and focus more on composition than sound and texture. While the residents carved out a space for sonic innovation, they're basically the only ones in it. Penn Jillette says people relate to the residents' anarchic spirit, but they don't seem to relate enough.
We know that we have to have Garth Brooks and Eminem and Britney Spears, and there's all sorts of reasons why that happens. And we know that we have to have local bar bands. What really seems odd to me is that there aren't 150 groups like the Residents that are kind of a collective of people that just do, and for lack of a better word, art. And I'll use my partner Teller's definition of art, which is whatever we do after the chores are done.
Ultimately, the residents say what they do is about entertaining themselves, and that is something everyone can understand.
As they become more virtual and even more mythological, the residents see themselves as residing in everyone.
So the next time you get junk mail addressed to occupant, maybe you'll think about being and art. Neda Ulibi, NPR News, Washington.